talker that she is. But and she told me the same today over lunch, so I'm not disparaging him. Well, I guess I am, but it's okay. I was telling Brother Gabe, Miss Sydney earlier, they kind of like have Brother Colt and Miss Shalice. Brother Colt, Miss Shalice, they have a picture that they took, and I forget the occasion, but it's right after they got married or right after he and asked her to marry him or something like that. They got this picture, and it's, you can't look at the picture without smiling. They are just so happy. It just, I got him, I got her, you know, kind of thing, and it just, it makes you smile. What was the occasion? At the wedding. So you ought to be excited at your wedding. That's probably a pretty good idea. But if you're not, probably ought to run. Miss Sydney and Brother Gabe, they've got a picture like that back there on Brother Gabe's desk. And you just walk by it and you just see it and you just smile. You know, it's just one of the, sort of like banjo playing. It just makes you smile. And not that they're banjo, but, you know, but it just makes you smile. Now, she's not giving him a smooch. She's giving him a smooch, but she's giving him her cheek. And but she's really happy about that. And he seems to be happy too. So, but it's just one of those pictures that just makes you smile just looking at it. And I like looking at pictures like that, you know. And you don't do the Facebook, but I get to see some of the best because Miss Dory say, look at this, you know. And so that's great. You know, that's good stuff and good medicine. And in 2 weeks, we will likely be ordaining Brother Colt Foster, likely if he passes test. And he will have a test, and he will be, matter of fact, he'll have the toughest test probably of anyone we've ever ordained in the private setting. He will have that. And so let's just say for pretend sake that he goes out as an evangelist or he goes out as a pastor. Which that looks like what's going to happen. So it'd be a good time for me to address this this issue. For someone to be sent out as a legitimate minister, and I emphasize legitimate minister around here. Now I wish it could be said for every church. Unfortunately, it's not so. But we can't do a whole lot about other churches. We can do a whole lot about this church and how we're diligent in our business. But number one, there has to be a proper church that they are a member of in good standing. A proper church. It has to be a biblical a church. An evangelist friend told me years ago that there are many evangelists who are not church members anywhere. And they haven't been for a long time. They're not even church members. Now, this is the elementary things of Christianity. Everybody should be belonging to a New Testament church. But they really don't see the need to it. Sometimes they say, well, I'm out so much, you know, I don't need to be a member of a church. I'm not there anyway. I'm just out all the time. Being the fact that you're out all the time is even more reason why you should be a member of a church for a wide variety of different reasons. So the Apostle Paul doesn't agree with that. It's pretty convenient for them because if you follow that up and kind of peel back the onion to find out, they tithe to themselves, they give to themselves, all kinds of corruption that gets into that pool of mud. But the Apostle Paul doesn't agree with that at all. A very popular evangelist said on the radio years ago, the Criswell radio station, that I used to listen to when it was decent. I don't even know if it's still around now. But he said, one of the first things you need to know about evangelists is asking, what church are you out of? What church has sent you out? They've commissioned you. They've sent you out. Obviously, the problem is renegade ministers and illegitimate ministers, and it's widespread. It's much more widespread than you might imagine. It really is. We're just polite enough that we don't know about it. You know, that's kind of one of those things. But these so-called ministers need to be recognized and they need to be reproved. They should not be accepted. They should not be accepted. They should not be recognized as bona fide, legitimate ministers of the gospel of anything. Now, in Galatians chapter 1, flip over there if you would. The Apostle Paul doesn't deal so much with it as a church as he does with individuals. And he says, beginning in verse 6, he's shocked and he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you to the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. Anybody who's out of order is going to be out of order and troubling the things of God. You're out of order. There's things that are not being done the way they should be. And they pervert the gospel of Christ. And he goes on to say, we are an angel from heaven. Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. Let him be accursed. And he repeats that again. And because it's so important, it's so vitally important that you don't have corruption out there pretending to be the pure ministers or the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if Paul is this strong against men preaching another gospel, what do you think he thinks about churches who are embracing another gospel? Right here, you know, I had one of the leaders of the One Night to Unite call me up, and we're friends, right? Yeah, we're friends, but I know where you're going. The answer is no. Well, let me give you my spiel first. I said, okay, give me your spiel, but the answer is still no. And I said, no, listen, you're an engineer. You're a smart man. You help me get by Galatians 1, and we'll talk. You just help me get by Galatians 1. Let them be accursed. That doesn't mean hold hands with them and say you believe in the same thing. Let them be accursed. Doesn't mean you're going to hold a joint meeting with them. You're not standing on a roadside holding up protesting against abortion. I'm all for that. I have no problem with that. You're joining hands in ministry. That's a different thing. It's just a different thing. Amos asked the question, can two walk together except they be agreed? And basically, no. No, you can't. I mean, you get married, you should be marrying somebody that's in agreement with you, okay, in the faith. Now, there are many passages we can see in the Scripture which tell us not to come in ministry partnership. Partnership seems to be, you know, we want you to partner with us. That's kind of the new word of the last, probably 20 years plus. You know, now we want you to partner with us. Well, you know, you're going to be partner. You're going to be joining somebody. You'd like to know what you're joining. I mean, business or whatever, I'd encourage you to look into it. Do a little bit of research. We have pastor after pastor that tells us nobody ever calls us and asks about our missionaries. Nobody, you're the first one or you're the second one to ever call us. So like in 20 plus years, they've been pastoring the church. And I tell you that. I want you to be an informed congregation. I don't want you to be a spiteful congregation, but I want you to be informed. Does that make sense? So I want you to, I'm trying to just run everything down, but I want you to know how the field's striped. So we can do better. Now, if a minister calls here, and let's say he's an evangelist, singer, missionary, whatever, but I mean by singer, I don't mean somebody goes out and sings at their sister's church while they're out. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about somebody's in kind of vocational ministry. This is what they're doing, be it part-time or whatever, but they are recognized as serving ministries out of whatever. If they're a member of Assembly God Church, they can go minister in Assembly God Church. If they're Episcopals, they can go to the Episcopal Church and they go do that. But we can't be allowing them to have such a prominent role in church. I even had a Muslim woman one time when we did that little Muslim comparison thing with Christianity. And I had a Muslim woman, can you believe it? No imam in the entire world would agree a woman could represent Islam, number one. But she came here and she wanted to come to her church, New Heights Baptist Church, and she wanted to preach and teach everybody about Islam. And I'm like, you don't have a clue who you're talking to and what type of church. You've not met our kind of folk, or you wouldn't even ask. You wouldn't even ask. But if they're not recognized as a legitimate minister of a proper Bible-believing New Testament church, it's not going to go well. And frankly, it shouldn't go well. When I went to the sister church in Michigan, I greeted them in the name of Christ and New Heights Baptist Church. And I have two authorities backing me up. One is the Lord Jesus Christ. The second one is New Heights Baptist Church. And I'm connected to this church. Good, bad, or ugly, I'm connected to this church. And I need to be in good standing with this church to go preach a meeting in Michigan. Or I have no business going up there and preaching. Now, I will say, there may be occasions and transitions, somebody had some kind of a hardship or just things happen in life, okay? Things happen. And what I'm talking about is normal things, not exceptional times. And transitions in life, they do occur where someone or a family is in between, and yet they, if they're in between and they find themselves kind of in no man's land, they ought to be working to resolve that thing about church membership as soon as reasonably possible. But, we had a family, they'd find family, it looked well, it looked really clean, And but you come up from South Texas and you haven't joined a church in 3 years. And you don't seem to be too active about looking for a church now. You got a problem, and it's bigger than church membership. Okay, but you know, you tell me, well, I'm a teacher, I'm a Bible teacher. Well, you're not going to probably be a Bible teacher here. You can't get the elementary things right. If they respond to a reproof, of course, then they're wise. It needs to be addressed. And it's one of those things you do privately. And again, you know, things happen, and people are in transition of things. Families are in transition of things. But when it's brought to their attention, they ought to correct it. And they ought to get that straightened out. And sometimes when it's brought to the attention, yes, you're right, I need to do that, and let's get that straightened out. Other times they decide, well, we're just going to leave. And that happened not long ago. You don't get to stay in limbo forever and not resolve the issue of church membership. You're not going to join this church. Go find you a church you can join, especially if you want to be recognized as in the ministry. That it just has to be addressed, and it was addressed. It was addressed. And they decided to move on, which is part of the problem. They had to move on and do the same thing and at another church for 2 years and plus, and here you go in limbo. All the time you're presenting yourself now as bona fide ministries and all that type of thing. You have no authority to do what you're doing. No authority whatsoever to do what you're doing. And no accountability. And let's move tonight. Let's talk about the proper candidate. I'm running out of time already. Proper candidate. And I hope we're going to put a decent candidate in front of you in a couple weeks. I hope so. I know him just a little bit. But with that, they need to be capable of proper communication. It may or may not surprise you that some preachers are cussing preachers. They haven't learned how to even clean up their own language yet. In my mind, they need to work on that before they... you know what I'm saying? They need to be working on that. I don't have much time to spend on this point, but let me just say, Paul communicated with his church and others about the ministry needs. Paul told Timothy, set things in order. Now, how is he going to set things in order? He's got to use words, right? Now, all of us are going to stumble. You know, I'm not one of those that just, you know, panics at every single thing that President Trump or President Biden says that's, you know, a blooper. I just made one earlier. And you would too if you spoke a lot. You know, let's kind of get a life a little bit and stop being such an armchair quarterback. But Timothy had to use words to do that. So you have to have somewhat of command of words and a skill set to know what words are reasonably proper and, you know, are going to be able to edify and build up the people of God, okay? Not only that, but a proper character, letter B. Let's go quickly to Titus and just look at just this section of qualifications, because we cannot sanction any Tom, Dick, and Mary. We can't. We can't afford to. Why? Because Christ said don't do it. Now, in chapter 1, verse 5, he said, for this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Now, you don't just go do willy-nilly whatever you want. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife. Somebody says, well, it's just one wife at a time. Says, hold on just a minute. So you'd be okay if I had been married 14 times in the past, and I would still be your pastor. You wouldn't have a problem with that. Well, you know, they start coughing up hairballs, you know. You just use the absurd to illustrate the absurdity of the position. And I'm going to get into this more, and it's with the deacons and the wives. I mean, it's you have a heart, and usually the men who want to make the case, it's one wife at a time, have already remarried and they look for justification to justify it and say, that's okay and I can continue to be your pastor, just let me do what I want to do. And then they end up with 2 or 3, 4, or 5. Well, there's a question of character. It says, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having children faithful, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, like good men, good solid men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Talking about the what is their temperance. Holding fast the faithful word of God as he's been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. So when the time came for the growth of the church there at Jerusalem, the widows were being neglected. They had to look out for seven men. So the preachers had to look out seven men of good report. In other words, good men who are capable of taking care of this. They didn't just say, find seven warm bodies. Find seven men. It's a large church at this time, very large church. Now they're having some of the widow ladies are being neglected, so they needed to add to the administrative operation of the church, and so they put deacons in place to take care of that. Okay? As, by the way, deacons as servants of the Lord and servants to those preachers, not to rule as a deacon board over those preachers. Now, one of those, of course, was Stephen, and it's not a bad deacon who can preach too, and he did. What a fine deacon, of course, that he was, and to take care of them. Now, let me talk about a good name. It's important they have a good name so not to bring a reproach upon the things of God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important that they have a good name. If they're recently saved, then don't put your hands suddenly on them. Make sure you've got good quality stuff. But make sure of their character. Singing and preaching on Sunday and visiting the bar on Friday nights is not going to cut it. It's just not going to cut it. And you can say, well, I don't think the Bible. You can pipe it out your ear. It's not going to cut it. Certainly not going to cut it here. You say, what would you do? I'd go in that bar and go confront them and drag them out. And if I needed help, I'd grab some of you men. We'd all go in and get them and drag them out. Somebody said, you go to that bar? Yes, to drag them out. Not afraid of the bar. I'm afraid what would happen in that bar if they stay. So they need to work on having a good name. I knew of one evangelist who was defrocked, reported by the church that had him, because of his pay-per-view that he was engaged in at the hotel. And by the way, the church gets the bill for that, and so that's how he was found out. Yeah, that's happened. I know of a story of a number who were found out. Wife pays the bills or whatever, and she says, well, what is this, sweetheart? And it's that late night, used to be late night TV stuff, you know. You put your credit card in there, type in your credit card, and you watch something you shouldn't watch. Be sure your sin's finding out. They ought to have a good name, and they ought to be involved already in their churches. They shouldn't be, well, I'm going to go into the ministry and get involved in the ministry there. They should already be involved in the ministry. If they can't do it already without a salary that goes with it, they're not going to do such a great job even if they have a salary. I asked a well-known evangelist in my office, a very well-known evangelist in my office. So you are a member of this particular church where he said he was out of, had on his pamphlet, I'm out of this church, sent out of this church, all look nice and pretty. So I said, so you are a member of this church in good standing right now? Yes? He said, yes. So I looped back because I wanted to make sure, because I had already my serious questions about it. And said, I just want to go back and I want to ask this question just one more time. You are telling me that you are a member in good standing out of this sister church? Yes, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Well, there's such things as a telephone. So I called up the pastor and I said, could you just, tell me for sure, just in reflection, if this evangelist is indeed still a member out of your church in good standing? Now, all that's important, a member and in good standing, not just the member, in good standing. He said, no, as a matter of fact, he left over a year and a half ago in a case of discord, wrote me a letter, it's a pretty ugly letter, and he left the church and hasn't been back since and caused trouble. I said, okay, can you send me that in an email? Type it up and send that to me. He said, I can. And I've got that email in a private, secure place. And I just want you to know, it's not just the punks who pretend to be evangelists that are doing this. Okay, is that okay? It's not just the guys who are trying to make some money off churches without them knowing too much about what's going on. There's some guys who are just slick willies, and they all had the same kind of problems, by the way, years ago. And they would sign letters from Paul and Peter, but they were spurious. They were false letters. They just, you know, trying to use and make merchandise out of the people of God. That's not new. That's not new. But I'm talking about not those punk guys going around pretending, but I'm talking about highly respected evangelists sitting in my office, sitting in that chair. And just bold-faced lie to me about that. All the more reason to look into this. It's unacceptable. Now, what should they be involved in? Well, if they're going to get up and preach, they ought to be involved in outreach. They ought to already be involved in outreach. So if they want to go out and they want to do that, they probably already ought to be engaged in visitation and outreach. I wouldn't want to have a missionary in our church that didn't do something at his home church before he ever went out and wanted to receive money and support to go do it someplace else. Some guys seem to wait till they get overseas to do anything for God. Well, you don't want to put your hands on them. Tithing and mission giving. Well, if they can't get that right, I mean, why? What are you? You're a missionary and you don't even give to missions yourself. Seems kind of strange. How about attendance? How about just going to church? How about just going to church? You may be surprised how many do not go to church when they're not speaking or singing. I'm just laying it out. By the way, that didn't go here. That didn't go here. Listen to Paul's words to Timothy in 1 Corinthians. For this cause have I sent unto you, he's telling him about Timothy, who is my beloved son, faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which is in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, everywhere in every church, that's integrity, right? I'm not teaching one thing in one church and then went in Rome. I'm sticking to the truth, all right? And hopefully this truth will stick to you. And so under that support, he needs to be trustworthy in his relationships. He needs to be able to have relationships with a wide variety of different people and have honest, open, transparent Christian relationships with them. Which, by the way, means when nobody's watching, too. When nobody's watching. Paul said of him, he says, who is my beloved son? Now, unlike Demas, who, having loved the world, he forsook Paul. Timothy, Titus, they were good stock and they stuck. And I know that Paul had to be grateful for that. And number two, proven spiritually, proven and faithful in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 4:17. And faithful in the Lord. You can't build on anything that's not faithful. You can't build on anything. Of ministers, we read in 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his reward. Down in the same, let me give you the rest of that because I want to get to this point here. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin and meet that qualification, them that sin, rebuke before all that others also may fear. To whom much is given, much is required. Somebody says, you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. If you don't want the job, don't apply. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. I was just asking Michigan, how do you need to be to go out and be a pastor? How do you need to be to go out and be a pastor? Now, age, I think, comes to play, and maybe I would just say maturity comes to play. But without question. But it's far less of an age-related question than it is of temperament, skill set, capability, confidence, training. Do you have sufficient training Now, you're never going to have, you know, one of the things we'll talk about with like the Presbytery, we always say in the private meeting, we're not asking a young man to have the same understanding as a man who's been in the gospel ministry for 40 years. That's not the type of questions, you know. And one of the things that I do that was done for me, by the way, years ago, that if I feel, even in the public setting, by the way, just so you know, if I feel that you're trying to just get the candidate with a gotcha question, I'll get you with a gotcha question. And that kind of just takes care of it, right? Nip it in the bud, Andy, nip it in the bud. Because sometimes, you know, preachers are, you know, especially in that private setting, kind of want to be a little smart aleck, you know, and see if they can ensnare and trap a young candidate and prove what they know and the candidate doesn't know. Well, you know, you preach some other time. That's not for now. You know, it's not appropriate. Now, far too many run out in so-called ministry when they're ill-prepared and equipped to do the job, and they bring shame upon themselves and God and the church who approved of that ministry. They shouldn't have been out there in the first place. We looked at a church planter one time, and he seemed to be capable in the pulpit. We looked at him, we called his home church, talked to a deacon. He says, well, you know, if you want a guy who can preach a sermon, that's fine. Just don't turn him loose around any money. And I'm like, sir, you're going to have to explain that. Well, he borrowed money from the church, of course, without the church's knowledge, and he started a business for a high-maintenance wife. Now, normally, I think James, where's James out here, we're a police officer, we normally call him a felon. So they need to be a minister in good standing, tried, proven in areas of spiritual maturity. They need to be dependable with the Word of God. They need to know enough about the Word of God they can teach others, even contend for the faith to some degree. They may not be a great apologist, but they need to be capable, reasonably capable with the Word of God. In verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 7, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, that I teach everywhere and in every church. Of course, 4:2, 2 Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the Word. You can't preach what you don't know. You got to know enough of the Word of God. Now, I sat down together with a man at the request of a preacher friend of mine. This man avoided wanting me out of church to support this man, starting a church out in New Mexico. And in just 1 minute, I knew that we didn't want to be a part of this man's ministry. He dropped out of Bible college. Everything he did, he blamed others on all of his problems. So a man can't admit that he's made some mistakes and identify some of those mistakes is probably not a worthy candidate for consideration. I mean, you have to have enough humility to say, you know, I've made my share of mistakes, and maybe here's a couple of them. You know, but this preacher, this is what I've learned from those mistakes, right? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Shows humility. Humility is a great teacher. It's a great teacher. He did the same thing in less than a year with that church plan. The same thing. He did not know the Word of God and didn't know much about people in general. And if you're going to learn how to deal with people, you probably ought to get to know people and find out how to deal with them. I love the ancient Chinese proverb. He thinks himself a leader and no one is following. He's only taking a walk. I had a preacher in Florida that actually came out and preached one time, but he asked me if he could come and train here. This is the same time that Brother Ben was here, Brother Jonathan was here, and Brother Giordano was here. They were here as the short-term summer interns. Brother Giordano was here training a longer term. And this is what he said. He said, you know, I can preach a message. And he could. And he said, I can win a soul, but I really don't know what I am doing. And he asked, he said, can I come out to Texas and just train with you? Could I do that? And just learn. I need to learn. And I told him, you can come upon three conditions. You can come and no salary, but you can come like Brother Giordano, and I'll do my best to train you and try to help you. Three conditions. You cannot, under any circumstances, hurt this church that you're now pastoring in this process of transition. You cannot hurt this church. And when you leave this church, you leave it in the right way. I'm not going to have anything to do with you if you can't just leave and mind your manners in your departure. Leave it, church. The other thing, I said, though you have more preaching experience than Brother Giordano, you don't have more leadership experience than Brother Giordano with, and you would have to come in below him as far as training and authority and exercise. And he said, well, I've got so many years. So I said, you're already starting off wrong. You're asking me, and I'm setting the conditions, and you're already coughing up hairballs about my conditions. I'm telling you, you don't have what he already has under his belt, and if you're going to come in here, you're going to come in below him. And the third thing you've got to do, Brother Frank Shiver was alive and in that church. Matter of fact, he's the one that brought it into that church, or instrumental in bringing him into that church, down there at Fernandina Beach, Florida. And I said, Brother Frank Shiver has forgotten more than most of us know. And you have to have his blessings and a thumb up to me from Florida to Texas for me to pull the trigger on it and make it happen. In other words, you got to have his approval. Because he's going to be eyes here. I'm not there. This is 1,000 miles away. I can't watch what he's doing. I can't tell everything that he's doing, how he's treating himself, leaving that church and taking care of all this business. But Brother Frank could. Brother Frank's on our side. Brother Frank agrees with these things. See, he's an honorable preacher of the gospel. Very experienced. He knows the pitfalls. He knows the danger of this kind of stuff. Now I said, if you do that. Now he failed in all three. And still was upset with me that I didn't let him come. He ended up, he said, so can I come? And I just said, no. You violated every single one of the conditions. No. And then it's almost like, you know, well, it's kind of like a teenager. Well, if I talk enough, I'll get you to change your mind. Well, you just met the wrong guy. I said no the first time. What part of no don't you understand? No. And I gave him the whys and wherefores. Why? Every man deserves that, right? So I gave him the explanation, but you violated every order. You didn't leave the church where you're supposed to. All right? You have a back about Brother Giordano. And Brother Shiver said, he ended up cheating on his wife, moving to Georgia. Now, it's not any disparaging things about Georgia. But just, you've got to watch it. I'm just saying you've got to watch it. There are those who do not have the following. This alone does not bring, you know, they don't have a following, but or they could even have a following and not qualify, or they cannot have a following and not qualify. You're going to find a wide variety of those. I'm out of time. Let me just deal with it. They have to have a proper commission. If you go to Acts chapter 13, we dealt with this before on mission lessons. Paul, even an apostle, didn't authorize himself. He went out of a church, and he gave an account to that church. Let all things be done decently and in order. So a proper candidate, a proper church, and it's vital. I used to think early on in mission work, trying to discern who we entertain, maybe supporting or not, maybe. Now that bars haven't, it's been pushed up through the years. It's unfortunate. It's just been pushed up because all the games people have learned to play. And you just have to sort through it the best you can. And the number one question, I thought earlier on, the number one question is what church are you out of? But then I learned, no, it goes tighter than that. It really goes down to who's your pastor and what is he like. And if you're a family member or, you know, you're a missionary and you've got 10 family members in his church and he's the type of man that he would not maintain his integrity if it's going to rub the kitty the wrong way, his church folk, he'll let them do whatever they want to do. Because he doesn't want to offend the church family. And he'll let things go that he should not let go. Can't have that. Can't have that. Can't have that. You have to have more integrity than that. So proper candidate, proper commission in that church. Anything less just simply will not do. And it should not be embraced. And I'm not here, listen, I'm not here to throw everybody under the bus. That's not what I'm trying to do. And I would say somebody, like say, this is a brother that, you know, just ripped his britches. I would tell him, you know, hey, sun's still coming up in the east. You could go back to that church with your hat in your hand and you say, you know, I'm sorry, I have done this wickedness against you. I made an agreement with this preacher out in Texas and I did not honor that. I mean, there's a way that you could correct the field. But you can't do it without your hat in your hand. You know, some guys are like Fonzarelli, you know. Can't just say I made a mistake. What's wrong? Mistake, I made a mistake. Look, it didn't kill me. I've made a lot of mistakes. And one of the things I've learned to teach a lot of the younger men is when you make a mistake, admit it. Just admit it. Good people, God's people will forgive you. Just admit it. Now, not anything, but, right? Not anything, but I said something I shouldn't have said. I'm sorry. Well, what's wrong with that? Lord, give us more upright people to work with, and help us have the good sense to demand that those we support have to be reasonably qualified, called, and commissioned, sent out of a proper New Testament church. And if they're not, they don't meet the criteria. Sorry, but no bologna sandwich. Let's stand.